Hold on, let me interject. I will have the Cuban. I got nothing against the Cuban sandwich. I'm the demographic for X-Lax. If he has a bad three games, I'm cutting him. I'm not fooling around anymore. This thing has a life of its own.
The Ira Kaufman Podcast is presented by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford for the past 60 years and home to the nationwide lifetime warranty on new and pre-owned vehicles. Get shopping today at BillCurryFord.com. Ladies and gentlemen, spring is coming to a close, but the Ira Kaufman Podcast never shuts down. Presented by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford, it is none other, the star of the show, the king of Pasco County, the sage of Tampa Bay sports, Mr. Bill Curry Ford himself, the Baron of Big Storm Beer, Uncle Ira, Ira Kaufman. I'm Steve Isbitz of Joe Bucks Fan. Lee D. Kemper is here. And Ira, how are you?
Steve, I am astonished that I have been invited back to this twice weekly podcast after last week's performance, Death of a Handyman. It was not exactly uplifting, but you can't alter the facts, Lee. You know, you can topple the General Lee statue, but you can't erase General Lee from the history books. He did what he did, and that's it. My word of the day, gentlemen, anticipation. I'm tired of listening to Charlie Casserly. I'm tired of hearing Bill Polian weigh in on the Bucks. I don't want to hear from Jason Lock and Fora. Put a clamp on it, Ian Rappaport. Shut up, Peter King. I'm covering the riverfront. Let's play football, gentlemen. And the anticipation for the 2020 Bucks is something that I haven't seen around here in 18, 17 years, maybe forever. They never had Tom Brady around here before. And we can't wait for this season to start to see if they can live up to all this hype. So, Steve, let the games begin quickly, please.
Relax, Ira, relax. You know, it's okay. It's the same thing every year. But I appreciate your enthusiasm. I know you're jacked up.
I can't believe I got to wait another 3 months for Buckball. Can't believe it.
Your podcast, of course, is presented by Bill Curry Ford and General Manager Sean Sullivan. He's got that Ira Kaufman, Joe Bucks fan discount. He was just telling me, Ira, a gentleman, one of your devout fans, drove up from Manatee County, rolled into Bill Curry Ford, and said, I love the Sage. I like you, Sean Sullivan. I want the discount. I want to buy a vehicle, brand new Ford. I think he got a truck. And he bought one and rolled out of it.
Bucked the traffic on I-75, Lee.
So that was pretty cool, Ira. But
get that guy's name. I want to thank him, Steve. Get that guy's name.
If you're listening, I'll give you Ira's address after the show. So, Ira, seriously, though, $1,000 off any new lease or new purchase, in addition to the 0% financing offers, it's a special celebration.
I'm worried about Sullivan, Lee. He's giving stuff away over there. Can he make a profit?
And now you can sit down and have lunch at the Big Storm Cafe right in the dealership, making it even more comfortable at Bill Curry Ford. Go to BillCurryFord.com, BillCurryFord.com, shop used vehicles, which come with a nationwide lifetime warranty on most of them. Phenomenal, BillCurryFord.com. All right, Ira, lots of Buck stuff going on, but I want to run this past you and Lee.
Only you can find breaking Buck news in mid-June.
Did I say breaking Buck news, Ira? What?
Well,
I
you said lots of stuff,
lots of
going,
stuff
on.
Going on.
If you were Wolf Blitzer, you'd hype it as breaking news. By the way, I've had enough of Wolf Blitzer, too, while I'm talking about all these other people.
What do you do?
I think the guy's a hack. Get rid of him, CNN. No. You can do better.
I always thought he was like someone to look up to.
I don't think so.
That's years ago. That's not even
I'll give you an example. Now, we don't want to get too much into politics.
No.
But I was driving down here to meet you guys, and you're a sight for sore eyes, the Kemper.
Oh,
I haven't
boy.
Seen you in a while. And I had CNN on my radio.
Okay.
And they were playing a soundbite from Joe Biden, who was asked a direct question, about whether he was worried that Donald Trump, if he lost, would not leave the White House. He was asked a direct question. Well, Biden basically said, I'm not worried about it. I'm sure he'll be escorted off the premises in that situation with dispatch. That was a pretty good answer by Biden. You know, comical, lighthearted. They go back to Wolf Blitzer, and he turns to his panel over there and says, I can't believe those strong words from Joe Biden He's worried about Trump. He's not worried. He was asked a direct question, Lee. That's called hyping. And I believe Blitzer is a master at it.
Well, here's what's wrong with journalism today. Why was that a question even asked? This is ridiculous. Here's as close as I'm going to get to politics. You have hope, Ira. Sean Hannity, you hear what he's doing?
I hear he's getting it on with Ainsley Earhart.
I have newfound respect for the flack.
How old is Hannity?
58.
58.
Nice job.
Nice job.
What happens on that note? What happens if Cam Brate continues to struggle
and
goes for his third consecutive year of not really being a special tight end, and he doesn't leave the huddle? What happens?
He'll be escorted out. Tristan Wirfs will grab one end and Donovan Smith the other, and he'll be deposited into Bruce Arians' lap.
All right. Enough of your nonsense here.
Now, wait
here.
A minute. Your question is not, while far-fetched and comical,
Brate won't leave the huddle?
Raises a point. Cameron Brate, you got to get off your ass. You got to be more productive.
Well, it helps if they throw him the freaking ball. The Bucs have arguably, and I don't know who's gotten better, three tight ends of what they have, I don't think anybody's got. But it won't matter if they don't use them. You know, last year, when all those receivers go down, and even, I won't out the guys. I've talked to some guys on the offense. I'm not going to mention their names because I'm not going to out them. They didn't expect this to be brought up on podcast. They fully expected Howard and Brate to start getting targeted late in the season. That didn't happen, and they lost two games. Yeah, I know Jameis sucked.
You mean the two games that Godwin and Evans sat out?
Yeah, because they were hurt, and they didn't get Howard or Brate involved much. So that's not a general manager thing. That's maybe not a player's thing. That's a coach's thing. And I think the world of Bruce Arians, but son of a gun, you got all these tight ends. You better figure out a way to use them, man.
I'm a Brate fan, Steve. You've heard me say on this podcast, I think he's going to really benefit from Brady's presence. I think Brady's going to develop a trust because he's got great hands. However, I will say this. He made a huge drop last year.
Houston,
it was a
big
one. It was a big one. I think it was fourth down, too.
Yeah.
And it would have been a first down. It was a big one.
Well, look, the Bucs collect tight ends. It's a new craze across the NFL.
They don't exactly have George Kittle over there right now in his prime. I mean, they don't have
him.
We'll see what the three of them can do. I'm still not convinced Howard's going to be on the roster, Steve.
I'm not convinced either.
I'm not.
Yeah.
As far as a trade, or he's going to get cut?
Trade.
Okay. I insinuated he wasn't going to make the team. Like, whoa.
Yeah, same thing with Brate. I'm not convinced he's there. If Brady doesn't like him. You know, or if they seem, looks like he's slowed down a little, or if Howard blows up in the camp, do they really need Cameron Brate? If Howard blows up in camp,
you're
Brady
right.
likes him and Gronk looks good?
You're right.
Who keeps a $6 million third-string tight end? I don't know. It'll be fun to see that evolve, and hopefully they can find some more talent.
Especially, Steve, especially if a guy gets cut, shaken loose from a team late in training camp, a veteran, maybe at a position where they might need a veteran, and they need money. One of those tight ends could be expendable.
Well,
Brate could be expendable.
Initially thought, when you were just literally just speaking about that, I was thinking about, there's a tight end out there who can block, and it's easy to forget him because he doesn't play a whole lot outside, especially. Claire can block pretty well.
He can block pretty well.
And he's dirt cheap. So if they're just looking just for a blocking tight end, I don't think they will be. Just for a blocking tight end because they got a cheap one on the roster already.
All right, Sage, your podcast can be found at Apple Podcasts, Podbean, Google Play, other platforms at JoeBucksFan.com. If anybody has never subscribed to a podcast before, subscribe to this one. It's free. And then you get a little alert when the podcast posts. Usually the platforms are a few hours behind, but you can always find it at JoeBucksFan.com.
Twice weekly the entire year. 52 weeks twice weekly.
Ira's doing his math again. He's showing off his math skills.
Sometimes we do three in a week, Steve. A little bonus podcast.
All right, Ira. Chris Sims, now you went wild last year about Chris Sims' quarterback rankings. You went so wild, Todd Wright did a whole podcast about your reaction to Chris Sims.
What did he say in that case? I can't even remember.
Well, that was last year, Ira. Let's focus on this year. This year, Chris Sims is doing his quarterback rankings, as he does, and he has ranked Tom Brady the 15th best quarterback in the NFL. He had Breeze at 16. He had Jameis Winston at 33, wedged between Case Keenum and Tyrod Taylor, and a little bit behind Ryan Fitzpatrick. Your thoughts, Ira?
You know, sometimes I wonder what Sims is looking at. I loved covering him. He's a good kid. He's a tough kid. Played with a bad, you know, busted spleen. That ain't easy. Can't question his toughness. I covered his father. So I'm well familiar with the bloodlines, Lee. But I don't know what's worse, Brady 15 or Breeze 16. What the hell's this guy watching? Breeze just completed 17% of his passes and threw like four interceptions. I mean, you got 14 guys ranked ahead of him. You got Kirk Cousins. I didn't see his rankings, but I'm imagining he might have Kirk Cousins ahead of Drew Breeze. That's a no-brainer. What, are you crazy?
Are you outraged?
I'm outraged. This is going to be another Todd Wright podcast. Brady 15, no. He's got to be. I can't rank him lower than 10. I'm not going to go over the guys right now. I'm not going to rank him 1 or 2. No, I'm not going to do that. But 15, you know, his numbers weren't spellbinding last year, but he had nobody to throw to. We'll see what happens this year with the best wide receiver tandem in the NFL. Some good tight ends. Inventive offensive minds all around him. Not that he needs that, but if he wants to lean on Tom Moore, he's got him. Oh, Bruce Arians, he's got him. Leftwich calling the plays. I don't know what Sims is looking for. I think that's way out of whack.
Diana Russini, ESPN, they're trying to promote her as an insider, NFL insider. I guess she is to some import.
She's broken a few stories, I believe.
Yeah, I'm not degrading her in any way. So I don't. I wouldn't put her in Schefter's league or John Clayton, for example, or Florio, for that matter,
or Jay Glazer.
Well, that we're talking about the home run Babe Ruth there. She claims her sources that defensive coordinators aren't losing any sleep over Brady or Gronk. They believe that they're over the hill. That although they're still dangerous, they can be put out of a game. Specifically, Brady. They said you get Brady on the ground, he's mortal. And her information is coordinators are not losing sleep. They're concerned with them, of course, but not like they're facing Mahomes.
Well, I'm going to make this point. The Patriots were not particularly talented on offense last year. They didn't have Ezekiel Elliott. They didn't have Mike Evans. They didn't have Gronkowski. The offensive line was in shambles. And, Steve, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think they were a top 10 offense. I think they averaged maybe 24, 25 points a game. Below the Bucs, not as much as the Bucs, but very respectable. Mm-hmm. And, of course, they had the great defense. Well, if Tom Brady can have a top 10 offense with that dreck around him, and now he comes to one Buck place, not that he's got Ezekiel Elliott, but he's got talent. He's got talent.
I don't think he have Chris Elliott in the backfield.
The one knock on Brady that I think is legit, and I thought there were two knocks. One, I thought his arm strength has diminished significantly. Mike Reese, our guy, you know, that I know, I asked him directly. He said
ESPN Boston,
not.
Former
he said
Boston Globe.
Absolutely not. Might be the authority on the Patriots at this point. Mm-hmm. So Reese says he didn't see a significant drop in the arm strength. But I think the one legitimate one, and you're hearing it out there, and I think Sims mentioned it, he's hit-averse. He doesn't want to get hit. Not that any NFL quarterback, Steve, wants to get put on the ground. But Brady's taking it to another level. He has a little trouble hanging in there to complete that long ball, which is a potential problem if Arians is inflexible about his offense, and I don't think Arians will be inflexible.
Well, Diana Russini is saying that, and she was fabulous when she was in the D.C. market. She broke a ton of stories and was really a crackerjack kind of...
Maybe Bruce Allen was feeding her information.
Reporter personality. She was very striking back then as well, Ira. Anyway, but...
For who? ESPN?
No, she worked for, I think, CSN Washington.
Okay.
I chatted with her years ago at a game, and anyway. Long story. Many years
ago. I mentioned your name to her last year. She had never heard of
you. She has no idea who I am. So, Ira, but seriously, Russini's saying that defensive coordinators are not worried anymore. Well, I heard that, and I was like, you know what? I don't know if they really worry too much about any pocket-only passer because you don't have the multidimensional stuff where he's going to take off running, where he's going to extend plays. Brady's not going to extend plays, not going to take off, not going to hurt you with his
legs.
You're
worried about Wilson, Jackson, and Mahomes, and Rodgers.
And Jameis, and Roethlisberger, and those guys. It's just less to worry about by nature, so I was like, I don't know about that. I mean, of course, you got to cover who you got to cover, but it's sort of a sort of easier in some ways to play a Brady or a Breeze in because
I mean, Prescott moves. You know, a lot of these guys, a lot of the better quarterbacks move.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean he won't carve you up and kill you.
So maybe that applies to Breeze, too. Yeah, that could apply to Breeze, too. Same thing.
You would think. Sims did mention, like you said, him getting skittish in the pocket.
Yeah, he's skittish. He's skittish.
Breeze?
Brady's skittish.
Oh. We'll see if that's real or not. But I think what's most interesting to me is those numbers you mentioned. I know the Patriots last year were the 15th offense ranked in yards.
Okay.
I think they had more points. I think they were a higher scoring offense.
The defense helps in that regard.
But the defense was number one in yards allowed and number one in fewest points allowed. And here now he's coming to the Bucs where they ain't going to be number one across the board. So, different level of stress on Brady.
Lee, Breeze in the middle of the pack? I mean, what is that, Lee? I mean, come on.
Yeah, I can go there. Unless he's thinking age is going to catch up with
him.
Now,
I'll say this. He's had some disappointing playoff games. But I think the last two regular seasons have been among the best seasons he's ever had.
Yeah.
For regular, and he got hurt last year. But, Steve, he's a 70% completion passer. 70.
Yeah, they were 13-3. I mean, you would think he's better than 16th in the league.
I think they turned the ball over 8 times, Lee.
That's all?
As a team.
Wow.
The Bucs 41, the Saints 8. That's a lot of ground to make up, Steve.
It is. Now, Dennis Allen, Saints defensive coordinator.
Who's a good one. He's a good one.
Ironically, right after Russini made those comments, he did his weekly news conference or whatever. Or the Saints set him up on Zoom. He spoke for 30 minutes. The Bucs guys don't talk for 30 minutes, but... we won't go there, Ira. Anyway, Dennis Allen was talking, and he was asked about facing Brady.
How do you find these things, Isbeth?
Well, yeah, that's on the. It's called the internet, Ira. NewOrleansSaints.com. There it is.
Dennis I'm over Allen. There on my lounger in the pool, and he's listening to Dennis Allen.
Yeah, that's what we do.
That's what you do.
So, Ira, I'm listening to Dennis Allen. He's asked about Tom Brady, and of course, opening day opponent, right? And they're starting to watch film, and he's like, well...
he's faced Brady before, right?
He's faced Brady before, but he's studying Patriots film, studying Arians, and trying to figure out how are they going to blend it.
Yes.
That's what he's trying to guess. What's going to change? He's playing a guessing game.
And it's a guess.
And he used the term merge. How does it merge? That's what we're trying to figure out. So I thought that was kind of neat. They don't expect Arians' offense to just be Arians' offense.
That's a big, big question lingering over this team, Lee. It's a big one. How are they going to merge, you know, what Brady wants to do with what Arians wants to do? And in the end, Lee, I think Brady gets the nod.
Jenna Lane of ESPN, she claims, you know, from her information, from connecting the dots, when the fourth quarter comes around, Arians is basically going to hand everything over to Brady. So you know what you're doing. You know what's working for you.
I don't have a problem with that. Mm-hmm.
Nick Wright, who you know, he works on your buddy Russo's channel on SiriusXM.
Loves the NBA. He's driving you crazy with that.
Well, I just turn the channel. It's that simple.
How many times is he going to debate LeBron against Jordan?
Don't know, don't care.
Once a week?
Once I hear one of those names or I hear the acronym NBA click, these guys don't understand that we now have the power in the 21st century. We get to read what we want to read. We get to listen to what we want to listen. And if you get preachy, bye-bye.
All right, so what's Wright yakking about?
A couple weeks ago, it floated out of one Buck Palace, maybe a month ago, that Arians was going to run his offense and have Brady learn it. Arians said that it would be a whole lot easier to get one smart guy like Brady to learn an offense in an offseason than to get 15 or 20 other guys to learn a new offense in one offseason.
I say, tough luck, Scotty Miller. Get your head in the playbook. Into Brady's playbook.
Well,
that's my answer.
Nick Wright thinks if that's the case, it's going to blow up in their face. That Brady can't run a similar offense to what Arians had with Jameis, with Carson Palmer, with Peyton Manning. He can't do it anymore. That's number one. That's Nick Wright. I don't know. That's number one. Number two is, and this is interesting to me, I would have to side with Arians because I think we're thinking this is a normal offseason. It's anything but. You know, these guys have not been together at all outside of a high school appearance once in a blue moon. Who knows who's there? You know, Kevin O'Donnell and those guys, they got that shot of them out at Berkeley Prep. They're just standing around. You couldn't tell exactly who was who outside of Jensen and Brady. Jensen, the redhead ponytail, that stuck out. So to get 12 guys to learn an offense when you can't get together all outside of a Zoom,
I don't know. I don't know if I'm buying this, Lee, because not only are you going to have a training camp, but as Steve, you alluded last week, it might be an extended training camp.
What if it's aborted? I mean, let's say hypothetically, and I don't know this, who can predict what the hell is going to happen?
Well, you can't.
Let's say there's a rash that breaks out.
Well, then the NFL season's in jeopardy.
When Ira gets a rash, he gets a bomb, and he rubs it on himself.
Steve, I always go back to one point and tell me whether I'm off base.
You're off base.
I go back to one point. Brady wasn't foisted on Bruce Arians by, Jason Light or Ed Glazer. Ed Glazer didn't foist Tom Brady. Who brought up Tom Brady's name? Bruce Arians.
Yeah.
He could have brought up Philip Rivers. He brought up Tom Brady. That tells me right away, Steve, he knows what Brady can do. He's watched him for 20 freaking years. It ain't no mystery. So if you want door number two, you handle door number two. I don't think it's any more than that.
Well,
I don't think it's any more complicated than that.
It was well known that when Arians got to Pittsburgh, he worked hard to let Roethlisberger rewrite the playbook with him, and Roethlisberger called his own plays
and he's going
a good stretch. And he had a lot of freedom there, especially late in games. And there's some neat stories about that we've written about. But I think I'm looking at Cameron Brate. Cameron Brate, I think he was on Sirius when he talked about throwing with Tom Brady at Berkeley Prep. He said, it's weird teaching Tom Brady the offense, but it's been good for us because we're still second-year guys in the offense. We don't have it all down perfectly yet. Brate said that. We don't have the offense down perfectly yet, so it's good for us to reinforce our learning as we teach Brady. Now, Cameron Brate's a straight shooter. He's also got a Harvard degree. If he's struggling with the offense, we already knew, fact, that O.J. Howard was struggling adjusting to the new offense last year. I think there's no question that it's going to be the Bucs offense, because otherwise you got Brady doing his thing and you got 11 knuckleheads who still couldn't figure out last year's offense.
I think this whole thing's a straw man, this whole debate. If these clowns can't get on the same page by mid-September, shame on them. Figure it out. Streamline what you have to. Accentuate Brady's positives. Hey, that's what Arians is supposed to do. He's a two-time coach of the year. I play the guy's strengths. Todd Bowles says that every other week. Mm-hmm. I don't ask guys to do things they struggle with. Same thing applies to Brady. I think this is a silly debate. They're going to figure this. This is Tom Brady we're talking about.
I understand, but I'm not trying to be – well, I'm going to ask. I'm not trying to be a provocateur here. I really don't know. But that's why I'm asking you. You're the sage.
How are you going to be you can't spell it. How are you going to be one?
Provocateur or sage? S-A-G-E? Don't you think that's a factor? That basically there's no offseason because of this pandemic, that these guys haven't been able to get together at one buck at all and won't until the 21st, if that still happens. You don't think that's a factor at all?
Well, it's a factor, but it's a factor for a lot of teams. Now they have a new quarterback, but the supporting cast is basically the same. Got a couple of rookie running backs, one who might play a role. Got a rookie receiver who might play a role in Tyler Johnson. But the main characters... are back, a new right tackle, okay. 4/5 of the offensive line's back intact. So I don't have these great fears about Tom Brady. You're talking about a guy who's unparalleled in the history of this game, and a lot of it is because of what he does from the neck up. Mm-hmm. He understands this game like nobody's business. Steve, I'm not worried about it.
Yeah, I'm not worried about him either. But it's fun to talk about, but I'm not worried about it.
Potentially, the Bucs could have 5 new starters on offense this year. Running back, this character from Vanderbilt.
I don't think he displaces Ronald Jones. I would be surprised.
You talk to some people, this guy's Jim Brown because he drafted him in the third round.
You got Wirfs.
Wirfs, potentially Tyler Johnson.
Brady
and Gronk.
And Gronk.
Potentially 5 new starters.
All right, Sage. Now look, our big announcement is here. It's time. And the big announcement.
I'm all ears, baby.
I was over at Big Storm Brewing Company on Friday. Had a great meeting over there. And we are going to have every single watch party at their Clearwater location at the flagship under construction right now, and it's going to be phenomenal. Is their full outdoor covered seating area huge bar, huge setup. More than 130 will be able to sit outside there.
Rain or shine.
Rain or shine, fully covered, enjoy the games. And, of course, there's a whole wonderful setup inside. The new menu is completely rolled out right now. Sure, they'll have some specials, but there's going to be a Wi-Fi booster out there. And your watch parties, so people don't have to think about where is the stage going to be next. They will all be at Big Storm Brewing, 49th Street, just south of Ulmerton Road.
Just south of Ulmerton.
And what a great setup this is going to be. You can move inside, outside, fully covered, cooling fans.
They better have plenty of parking, this bitch, because we expect a big crowd.
Plenty of parking, and it's parking in front and back, on the side, because their offices are there too, Ira. And, of course, the offices aren't jammed up on a football Sunday or a Monday night. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Very excited.
I'm switching to the Cuban. I'm going from the Reuben to the Cuban because I'm hearing some of our listeners challenging me. Why won't Ira have the Cuban? I will have the Cuban. I got nothing against the Cuban sandwich. Lee, if you make a good Cuban sandwich, it's scrumptious.
They make a good Cuban sandwich. I go there to the Odessa location every Friday. I have a Cuban. I've never had their Reuben because Reubens don't like me.
Well, Steve has had the Reuben, said it was fantastic.
Oh, I'm sure. They have good food. I just can't do Reubens because Reubens don't like me.
I
don't care who makes it. They don't like me. So their Cuban is dynamite, man. If you walk out of that place, you wolf down their Cuban and their fries, and you walk out of there hungry, you're a beast.
You finish a whole Cuban, Lee? The whole
barely.
One? Wow. Nice.
What's important to know is the preseason schedule of NFL-wide is up in the air. So we're still finalizing what's going to be the first game.
They're supposed to open in Pittsburgh,
game.
Right?
They're supposed to open in Pittsburgh, but it looks like that won't happen. And maybe that makes the fourth preseason game more meaningful when we normally wouldn't have a party. So we're still nailing it down, Sage. But Bromosa is the new tangerine IPA from Big Storm Brewing
Just
Company.
Just had it a couple of weeks ago. Delicious.
It's so phenomenal. I don't even know what to say. Seriously. And I know you loved it. And it's in stores. It's out there. You can order it online. They'll deliver it to you within range. Big Storm Brewing Company. The Bromosa Perfect Summer Tangerine IPA. It kind of knocks down your butt a little bit if you have a couple of them too quickly, Ira.
Well, I mean, you can always bounce back with a Tropic Pressure. Not a problem.
There you go. Now, let's let the Tom Brady thing go. We'll let it die for today. We'll come back to it.
Oh, yes. Hold on. Let me interject. I am still a little hazy, gentlemen. I need a little clarification. And you two are the ones to do it.
Uh-oh.
Last week, that whole thing with Berkeley Prep and O'Donnell, was there a drone? Was there a helicopter?
No drone. Stop the drone.
And does Fox 13 get the credit? What happened?
I'll give O'Donnell the credit because he dug up where they were playing, what time and everything. Apparently, Channel 28's helicopter shot it. It was 28's helicopter because they share. They take turns. They share. But it was O'Donnell who dug it up. O'Donnell knew where they were going to be. O'Donnell
knew
what
time. Why would O'Donnell want to get beat on his own story from a different helicopter?
He didn't want. Well, you got to remember, these people share. It's like on this particular day, all the TV people were going to use that helicopter. If there was like a Sunshine Skyway caved in, they were going to use Channel 28's helicopter. That was their day to use the helicopter.
Yeah,
and
but
they
Fox 13's trying to kill Channel 28 in the ratings.
Once again, Ira, that particular day, 13's helicopter was grounded because they're trying to save money. They've been doing this for a couple years. They share helicopters.
It reminds me of that day back in 98 when Rick Stroud asked to borrow your pencil and you told him to F off. It's the same thing, Ira. Same concept.
It was a flare pen for your information.
A couple years ago to save money.
So how did 28 know about it? If O'Donnell,
Called him.
O'Donnell called 28.
Ira, I got to rewind here.
I'm ashamed of O'Donnell.
I'm not
getting you.
Okay. 3 or 4 years ago, in order to save money, all the local broadcast outlets got together and like, okay, we're going to share some producers. We're going to share the helicopter. Those helicopters are not cheap. So on this particular day, hypothetically, on this particular day, the only news chopper that was available was Channel 28. They would share the video with everybody, like a pool reporter. Think of a pool reporter. Well, this day, the pool reporter was Channel 28's chopper. O'Donnell had the information. He gave it to 28. They went and got the video.
Very dicey. Very dicey.
They've been doing it for years, Ira.
Very dicey. I would have held the story for 2 days until Fox 13 got charge of that. Was in charge of that copter. How do you like that, Steve?
Ira, here in town years ago when I was at the Tribune, there was a guy.
The late great Tribune.
The late great Tribune. I'm sorry, Ira. There was a guy who lived in Pinellas County who basically just monitored the police scanner all day long. So his goal was to, when anything happened, he would zip out there, take video, and he would then sell it to the highest bidder. Okay, and nobody at Channel 8 would say, we bought this from Pete Jones, who drives that wacky station wagon
but
that
they,
you see
but
sometimes.
But they pay him for
but
it.
They pay him for it, yeah. So highest bidder. So you know what? This stuff's been going on all the time. This is different, what Lee's talking about, but you know what? There are people out there who do this and sell a video to TV stations.
When's Joe Buck fan getting a copter? We want our own copter over there, Lee.
as soon as I get Ainsley Earnhardt, which is to say never.
Did I set him up for that, Steve?
Ira, your podcast is presented by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford for the last 60 years. BillCurryFord.com. All right, Sage, now.
May I interject one more time?
No, you can't interject. Double interjection.
Just a little tease. And you know what, Steve? I'm giving you an assignment, and you will ace this assignment. Lee, you stay on his case. We are a month away from my four-year anniversary with Joe Bucks fan. 4 years with Joe Bucks fan. Steve will look up the date, July 20th, something.
Oh, he'll
whatever.
Write a story about it.
And I think, Steve, in your inimitable way, maybe you could do a highlight podcast or something. See what you could do there. Certainly the death of a handyman will play a role in there somewhere. Don't touch a doorknob. You know, I'll give you some of the
lines.
It's
funny. I was talking to one of our great readers, Coach Combs, on Saturday. And he hadn't listened to the full podcast yet.
Didn't he buy something from Bill Curry Ford?
Yeah, two things, right?
He bought two trucks. One's very nice. I saw it anyway.
They're both nice. Don't insinuate
that's
one's
right,
not
that's
nice.
Right.
That's Bill true. Curry Ford does not sell secondhand.
That's right, yeah. Lee. Anyway, what about Coach Combs?
So I talked to Coach Combs, and I talked to him next time. The first thing he says to me is, Ira killed the handyman. All right. Now listen, enough.
And you let that go? You didn't slap him around for that?
No, not at all. All right, here's the thing. So we've talked about this many times, but it's not a dead subject because it's going to keep returning, and we get to watch it play out. So we know the Bucks' history. We know everything. So Eric Mangini's on television the other day.
Another talking head?
Well, but here's why.
That's all they got these days. There's no games.
Mangini's different because he coached with Belichick. He was his boy wonder.
He saw Brady up close.
He saw Brady for, I believe, six seasons. So then he goes to the Jets.
And he plays against Brady,
and he gets Brett Favre. Okay? And you know the hype. Imagine the hype of Brett Favre going to the Jets at 39 years old. And he's the head coach. So he saw what transpired on his team.
So not a bad vantage point.
No, great vantage point about this whole situation. And he basically said that the extreme hype, the extreme scrutiny, the extreme raised expectations, it's counterproductive for a lot of players. Some guys will rise, but for some guys, it's counterproductive. So I don't think we've heard that before. We've heard that, well, you know, some guys are just who they are, and they're not going to be raised by Brady. But the counterproductive end of it is really interesting.
I think Mangini in general has a fair point to make, Lee, but not where it pertains to Tom Brady. For the better part of 20 years, Tom Brady's dealt with raised expectations, high expectations. You don't win 12 games in Foxborough, it's a bad year. You don't go to the Super Bowl in Foxborough, which he did 9 out of 20 times, phenomenal, and won 6 of them, it's a bad year. So Brady knows all about raised expectations. He'd have it nothing less. But how's Ali Marpet going to handle raised expectations? What's O.J. Howard thinking of raised expectations? Mike Evans, he's never dealt with this. We're not talking about coming off 2016. We're talking about Tom Brady. We're talking about a flash poll that you guys put up where 80% of our readers thought the Bucks were going to be double-digit in wins. 80%. And a good percentage thought it was going to be 12. Yeah. So, Lee, it's a big unknown. It's the flip side of raising expectations. You're raising pressure. But as far as Brady, I don't think it's a factor.
You may be right. That's something I'm not really concerned about. I'm concerned about them playing well. And you play well, everything falls into place.
You're not big on the intangibles, DeKemper. You don't like the intangibles. Spirit. Spirituality, chemistry.
Well, I call it football spirituality. You know? You know, teams aren't going to talk about how they get their ass kicked every other week, like the Bucks have for
Mike
a decade.
Mike Allstott talked about it, though, Lee. Mike Allstott
talked about it. Does Mike Allstott play for the Bucks?
Mike Allstott talked about the importance of togetherness and comradeship. He did.
In the past 10 years, how much have the Bucks talked about winning?
Not enough.
Yeah, because they can't win. They sure as hell aren't going to talk about getting their ass kicked. So what's there to talk about?
The locker room.
BS. Mindset. Leadership. All this mystic caca, you know?
All right, so as far as expectations, you were going to say about a podcast?
I was listening to Sammer's podcast.
The name, Loose Cannons. Yeah. And what did you hear?
Matt Gay was on there, and he said everybody is like they have a bullseye on themselves. They have very high expectations that they need to meet, not team-wise, but personally, individually.
There's another guy who we don't know whether he can handle pressure.
That's very
kicker.
True. That's very true. And the reason why those expectations are raised on an individual basis, every teammate, Tom Brady. He says when they signed Tom Brady, everybody all of a sudden stood up in their chair like, oh, my God, we got to get our act together. And Matt Gay also said something that kind of irked me. He was saying...
You mean when he talked about the South End Zone?
He didn't talk about that, but he did, to his credit, talked about misses. And he talked about the Giants game. And he said he realized as a rookie in the NFL, every kick matters. He goes, in college, you might miss a field goal. Your team will back you up and they'll get a touchdown. In the NFL, I learned every kick matters. You didn't know this? You got your own special teams kicking coach. You didn't know this?
What do you say about the Giants miss? What do you say?
Specifically,
isn't
I didn't.
Isn't that when they took the penalty and they moved the ball back? Remember?
Yeah, he talked about it. I was like, I.
Did he offer an excuse?
I didn't listen to it because I didn't care about it, his answer. So I didn't listen to it. I got to be honest with you. That's water under the bridge. I didn't care about that. So I was listening, but I wasn't hearing, if that makes sense.
He might be the most interesting guy in terms of how to handle these raised expectations if he keeps his job.
What really jumped out at me was when he said, you know, I realized as a rookie, every kick matters. And I just want to do a face palm.
Oh,
like,
boy.
You got to be kidding me.
He should have been thinking like that in high school.
Ira, if Matt Gay has a rough season this year, should Jason Light resign?
You just made the Kemper spit up his coke over there.
No answer from the sage? Should he do
that? I am not convinced Matt Gay will be the kicker week one. I'm not
really
convinced of that. If he has a lousy training camp, I'm cutting him. I'm cutting him.
No matter if you have a replacement
or not? If he has a bad three games, I'm cutting him.
That's right.
I'm not fooling around anymore. This thing has a life of its own. This Matt Bryant kicker syndrome. Other teams are looking at this with disdain. They're laughing at the Bucks.
Yeah, laughing, not disdain, laughing.
Not disdain, you're right. You know, the Chiefs.
Scoffing.
The Chiefs pick up this guy, Butker. The guy never misses a field goal. Will Lutz, where the hell he come from? Never misses a kick. I mean, what's going on here? You don't have to spend draft picks. If you do spend draft picks, they better be Justin Tucker. We ain't seen Justin Tucker around here. I ain't seen Forrest Tucker around here.
Forrest Tucker, Sergeant O'Rourke.
There you go.
To Steve's point, now you really didn't answer the question about Jason Light, but here's how I'll answer that. Whoever scouts kickers or whatever...
procedure they're using.
Whatever they use to define what a kicker is, they need to
criteria.
Burn it. Criteria is a better word. Criteria is a better standard.
Standard's
a perfect word.
I just shouted out six words for you, DeKeffer. Pick one.
Whatever standard they use for a good kicker, if Matt Gay melts down in training camp, they need to take that book, they need to take that program, and toss it in that pond in the back of One Buck Palace where the Gators are.
That's right.
I mean, it's enough's enough, man.
All right, Sage, now. We have fan questions. We took some on Twitter for you. And I need rapid-fire answers. None of this.
I didn't screw up by answering them.
And what about Light? You didn't answer that.
Light wins 11 games. I don't care what Matt Gay does. He keeps his
good
job.
Answer. Good there answer, go. Sage. All right. But first, Ira, as we've told your loyal listeners before, if they have any water damage at home, you immediately call Florida's Elite Restoration before you call the insurance company because they can handle all of that for you. And they will come to you 24/7. It's an emergency call. They will come out absolutely free. And they will look at everything, use their thermal imaging cameras, make sure if you have any kind of problem, they can walk you through what's going to happen next.
Steve, Florida's Elite Restoration. They ultra specialists. They only do one thing. They're all about mold, or they can help you with some other problems too.
No, any kind of damage, Ira, fire, flood, whatever it might be, they are one of these fantastic restoration companies. Any kind of issue at your home.
It's a one-stop shop.
Absolute one-stop shop, but they do happen to be mold remediation specialists. They're licensed and insured for that. They go through training for it, not like other companies that just say they do it and maybe farm it out or aren't real experts. Florida's Elite Restoration, your buddy Josh, he's the owner. They're a fantastic local company, and they're honest, and there are many dishonest players in this field. If you have any issue whatsoever, go to floridaselite-restoration.com to learn more about them. Get the phone number or send them an email directly. They'll come out 24/7.
And they cover a large segment of the Tampa Bay area, Steve. They will travel. They will travel.
The whole Bay Area, Florida's Elite Restoration. All right, Sage, back to the questions. This one comes from Dallas. Dallas writes, we will see Winston week one in a gadget play, Ira, yes or no?
No, if there's a gadget play, it's going to be Taysom Hill.
All right.
He's the master of the gadgets.
Good quick answer. You got to know there, Dallas. Thank you for listening to the Sage. This one comes from Buck Tank. He's Twitter at Bucks3000. As we may be entering the strangest seasons in NFL history, this man writes, what's the strangest thing you have seen happen in your 63 years covering the Buccaneers?
The strangest thing I've seen in 63 years was the firing of Lehman Bennett, because when Culverhouse went to the podium that day after the 86 season, even though he was 4-28 after 2 years, my first 2 years in Tampa, welcome to the Bucs, Ira, 4-28. The way that Culverhouse was talking at the podium, well, we did some good things and Lehman's improved over here. Bennett thought he was staying. All of a sudden, Culverhouse says, but we have to make a change. Would you like to say a few words, Ms. Lehman? I mean, you can't beat that. You can't beat that, Lee.
Got fired at the press conference?
Fired at the press conference.
That's a classic, Ira. Now, this one comes from a proud friend of ours and Bill Curry Ford customer, Travis Combs. Coach Combs writes, Uncle Ira, who will be the MVP of our 2020 secondary?
Jamel Dean. I love everything about the way this kid played the second half of the season, getting his hands on balls all over the place.
I thought you said getting his balls on hands.
No, getting his hands on balls all over the place, Steve. Keep it classy, Isbits. And Jamel Dean's my pick.
All right, Ira. This comes from the famous DAE Goon Squad, which is a fan group for one of the DAE shows. I guess they listen
Pat Donovan,
to a podcast.
Right? Yeah. And Aaron?
Yeah.
You mean the shows that won't have me on as a guest? Those shows?
You're not allowed, Ira. You know the rules.
All right, there you go.
All right. Sage, what's the biggest blunder in Buccaneers history? Bo Ooh. Jackson letting Doug Williams go? Steve Young? Something else? They want your wisdom, Ira.
Bo Jackson, hands down. Bo Jackson.
More so than Doug Williams.
He told them he wasn't coming. They didn't listen to him. They made the mistake of having Culverhouse have a sit-down with Bo Jackson. That's a disaster. Keep Culverhouse away from Bo Jackson, and he might sign on the dotted line if you give him enough money.
Because the Bucks were a playoff team with Doug Williams.
They were, but...
And Jack Thompson, throwing some
there's different stories about how much Williams is asking for. It was a mistake. But those teams were built on defense. You got to remember that, too. Especially that 79 team. That was a hell of a defense. The offense was okay. So until Williams had that unbelievable game for the Redskins in the Super Bowl, he was not considered an elite quarterback. So right, Bo Jackson's the winner.
Bo Jackson is the winner for the Sage. I still can't shake Michael Bennett. There was no reason to let him go. No reason to let him go. You screwed up a whole decade chasing a...
Michael Bennett's like a pebble in your shoe, Steve. It's a pebble in your shoe.
If you really think about it, what a colossal screw-up this was. And look at how long you chased trying to get a defensive lineman and some edge rush. And
now he's not Reggie White. Take it easy. But he's a good
compared to what the Bucks had.
Well,
hell yeah, he was.
A damn good
look,
football
Bo Jackson
player.
Was a great player, but how long did he last? Three years?
And he's still playing, Bennett. And he's still playing.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So let's head over to Cole. And he's at C.A. Thompson, 1987 at Twitter. What will the Bucs do to help the depth of their front seven on defense? A little sketchy depth there, Ira.
I agree. The sketchy depth. You know, they got Minter as a veteran reserve backer. But they lost two guys off the D-line, Lee, and didn't really replace them with that sixth-round pick. You don't know what you're going to get, obviously. Depth is an issue. It's an issue. JPP goes down, it's a problem.
Yeah.
Shaq goes down, it's a problem. I believe they will sign a player or two. Look, they're all in, and I don't think they should leave any stone unturned, and I think that is the dominant. It's a two-year window. I think if they got a chance to get somebody, they'll work out the economics, and they'll pick them up. I think they know depth's a problem.
All right, Ira, I guess you're not the biggest Raheem Nunez Roches fan, but that's all right. So, Sage, we have hit up your questions. Your fans love you.
I think
the people
we need to wrap
you.
Up this podcast, Mr.
And before we head out of here, I wanted to ask you this. You know, they're going to make the Doug Williams movie.
He squeezes everything in, Lee. Unbelievable.
Doug Williams sold his story to a prominent Hollywood filmmaking crew. And I hope he got some good cash. Some of that cash that Hugh Culverhouse wouldn't pay him. But I know he's a buddy of yours. I'll tell this story real quickly. It's at the NFL owners meetings. Ira's sitting there talking to Doug Williams, having a nice chat. And
was there a beverage involved?
I don't know.
All right.
I came to sit down and say hello and join in. Doug Williams looks at me like, what are you doing here, man? I'm talking to Ira. It was fantastic.
Another reason I like Doug Williams. Shoot away Steve Isbell.
I forget exactly what he verbalized, but he said, like, this is a private chat with me and Ira.
You know, all right. Lee, you watch everything. You don't miss a thing unless it's NBA basketball.
Yeah.
The Doug Williams of Football Life, it was one of the best ones they did.
That was pretty good.
It was pretty damn
good.
Good interviews. Ron Wolf, you know, I think had he had left the Bucks. If Ron Wolf was still around, I think he would have talked Culverhouse into working out a deal. But there wasn't a Ron Wolf around. It was a guy named Phil Kruger. And Kruger did whatever Culverhouse wanted.
Okay.
And Culverhouse didn't want to pay Williams. But what a story, Lee, you know, that 87 Redskins and that first – I was at the game. It was in San Diego. They played the Broncos. They're losing 10-0 in the first quarter. They don't look good. Mm-hmm. I figured the Broncos are going to win this game. They had Elway. And the guy scored 35 points in the second quarter.
Over.
I mean, five. And, of course, that guy Tim Smith went crazy.
Yeah.
Nobody ever heard of him before.
Did he wind up in prison?
He might have. I think he had 200
cocaine?
Yards rushing in that game. But all anybody remembers is Doug Williams. And I also think... I mean, you can't write the script. I think he had major dental surgery like the day before.
Williams?
Major.
Like you with the Novocaine.
Like me with the Novocaine.
Doug Williams?
Yeah,
had,
Doug
really,
Williams,
day before?
Yeah. And I also believe that maybe late in the first quarter, he twisted his knee.
Yeah,
he got hurt.
Yeah, he got hurt.
They didn't even know if he could finish the game. He comes out and has the greatest single quarter in Super Bowl history. So, very humble guy.
Yeah.
He has every reason, Lee, to be a bitter, bitter man over many things that's happened over the course of his lifetime.
But
I never sensed bitterness from him.
Yeah, I don't know how many people forget or remember his first wife passed away while he was going through contract negotiations.
I believe that's right,
with the Bucks.
Too. I mean, it's really an amazing story. I consider him a friend. I don't like the way he was run out of One Buck Place years and years ago. I thought that was a travesty. I got a few opinions on that, which I will not share. But there were some members of the media that railroaded Doug Williams and helped get him out of town.
Seriously?
Oh, yeah. And I'll never forget that.
Can you name names?
Maybe on a future podcast. We shall see.
Ira,
Get a couple of Brumoses into me.
Good call, Ira. Good call. You know, one thing that was very interesting, I had a long private chat with Doug Williams in 2012. That's why I thought he liked me, right? And this was, you know, years later, I've gotten in the way of the sage. He kicks me out. Long private chat with Doug Williams. And at the time, the NFL had done a 25-year anniversary feature on Doug Williams being the first African-American quarterback to win a Super Bowl. And Josh Freeman, who was mentored by Doug Williams, who was still in the organization when Freeman came in, and they had a good bond, and of course, you know, the story. Josh Freeman would not participate in that feature with the NFL because Josh Freeman verbalized that he didn't consider himself a black quarterback and he didn't want to participate. And Doug Williams was sort of taken back, like, this is the weirdest thing I've ever seen. He's Josh Freeman looks black to me, kind of thing. It was very interesting chat at that time. But, you know, Doug Williams, I got to ask you this, Ira, because you are Mr. Hall of Fame. With everything going on in the country and Doug Williams' success on the field and his the clear discrimination against him and then going to the USFL and coming back, winning a Super Bowl, is he going to get strong Hall of Fame consideration, Ira, this year? Not that you think it should happen, but do you think he will?
Well, obviously, he's a senior candidate, Lee. That 25 years has passed. His name has come up. His body of work does not merit a bust. And nobody should argue that point. Nobody. But there are some other factors at play. There were some other factors at play for Tony Dungy. But I didn't dwell on it. You got to establish Tony Dungy as a historic winner, which he was, Lee. He was a historic winner in terms of winning percentage when he hung it up after 13 seasons on the sideline. You could make a case for Doug Williams. I think I'd struggle to vote for him.
I know what you mean.
I would struggle.
All right, Sage, got to ask the question.
Ask and answer, Stephen.
All right, we're out of here. Lee, Ira.
We'll be back later this week, Stephen.
We all give our thanks to Big Storm Beer, Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford that presents all of your work, Ira, and, of course, Florida's Elite Restoration. We're getting to know them. Can't wait to learn more about them. And, boys, we're out of here, right?
We're out, baby.